Well, I guess that's a pretty hard act to follow. I don't know how y'all feel. Didn't they do a great job? Yeah. I have to take a pulpit away, not because the kids can't be seen, but more than likely because I can't. So, well, camp. It's been here, it's gone. And now, hold on, I know this is awkward. I talked to the kids about giving dead time and not having dead time and then have everything adjusted and all that stuff, and I'm the one that does it. So, all right, if you will stand with me in reading God's inerrant holy word, I'll be reading from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Wow. Every time I get to stand up here and listen to the talents of these youth, it just humbles me. Father, I'm so grateful that you've allowed me to be a vessel, just to be around them, to be a guiding light. Father, I hope that I have done good with that stewardship in these times. Father, I ask that you remove me today. You know, remove me from up here on this stage and just make me a vessel so that I can bring your word to the ears who want to hear it. Tell about our experiences at camp. And Father, it honors you. I ask all this in your son's heavenly precious name, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. So, a few weeks ago, we started youth camp as always. I'm chasing everybody around trying to get them registered. That's a headache in itself, getting everybody online, fully registered, getting all the payments in, getting everything ready and straight to go. And, of course, all your usual shenanigans that go on. This doesn't work, and that doesn't work. And, hey, can you know, my kid bring a flamethrower? And I'm like, no. Can he have this? And I'm like, no. And so it happens all the time. But this year, what we do during our cabin times is I slowly bring up the challenges. And I challenge each youth in our cabin time for reflection and reconnection. And I'm going to take you along with that a little bit this morning. First night, we usually do passing the Bible. So this is my camp Bible. No, that's not blood probably. But it's been stained, but I wrap it in some pretty hard leather so I can throw it at them. But for the most part, the kids know this is my camp Bible. It's got to be tough. It gets wet. There's all kinds of stuff that happens to it. Kids leave me notes, and I put them in my Bible. I write the names down of all the kids that I've led to Christ and baptized. This is also my prayer list. So this is a pretty important Bible to me. Well, this is the Bible that we pass around during cabin time. We all sit, and usually to get them focused, I start out with a question. First question was, why are you here? Well, what's your name? Introduce yourself, and why are you here? See, we shared the cabin this year with another church, Big Springs Baptist Church. It was they were kind of had more girls than they did boys, and we had more boys than we did girls, so it was kind of a good match. You've seen a lot of them in the pictures up there because they were just hanging out with our kids and being, you know, they became a pretty close group, and it was pretty cool. So our cabin times was shared with them, but, you know, I didn't want to split them up. I just said, hey, let's all do cabin time together. So first question was, what's your name, and why are you here? And I think a lot of us would be surprised by listening to what our youth say, why they go to camp. Some of them are like, well, I was invited. This is my first year to camp. I really didn't know what to expect. All the way to the seasoned camper where they go, I'm here to reconnect. You know, last summer, I had this fill in the blank with God, and it was awesome, and I come back to reflect. I try to get them out of that. Camp is the only place you can get that zone. So first we need to know why they were there. So passing the Bible around. And so once we get focused, we started. Romans 12:2. This is also our camp theme. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed, to fashion or shape one thing like another. It's translated conformed in Romans 12:2, fashioned in Peter, in 1 Peter, and this verb has more reference to that of a transition or changeable or unstable. So it's an essential character complete to be durability. In other words, it's completely. Do not be conformed. Do not be shaped to this world. You got to be different. Don't let the world taint you or blemish you. Don't let sin change you. You're a child of God. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And transformed is to change into another form, to transform, to transfigure, or to be conformed. In other words, it's to be conformed is to be changed from the outside. To be transformed has to happen from the inside. Christ changes you. The Holy Spirit changes you from the inside out. And the world pressures you from the outside in. And you got to let that light that's inside of you shine out. It's the difference between conformity and transform. Conformity is an outside pressure. Transform is an inside transformation. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us to look, feel, and be more Christ-like. And he can only do that from the inside out. By the renewing of your mind, you are only going to project what you allow to influence you. What you do, who you hang out with, who you listen to, who you're dating, what you click on, where you hang out with your outwardly influences, but they become dwelling inside of you more and suppress the Holy Spirit. Conformity, transformation. So then I share a little bit of my testimony about when I was saved and not how do we become more like Christ in the renewing of your mind, but how it changed me. See, our testimonies is how what God did for us in our lives. And your testimony is the only testimony that'll touch somebody else. See, I talk to the kids all the time. I'm like, hey, I can reach you guys, but you guys reach your friends, and your friends reach their friends, and that's how Christianity works. There are people you will reach I will never reach. They'll never even talk to me, but they'll talk to you. And they need to know your story, what God did for you in your life. So the second night, passing the Bible around, questions get a little tougher. What is in the way of you and the Lord? That's a tough question, and all of us, when I said that, put something in that blank. It's either I put this in front of the Lord, I'm at work too much, my family's doing this, I'm doing that, I'm running here. Sometimes I just don't have time. That goes right in that blank, what's in between you and the Lord. He comes first. So here's your challenge. We have lots of things, but I want to know one thing that's between you and the Lord. It can be you're just not reading your Bible enough and you need to get to it. It could be you got a sin in your life. So the Bible starts to go around. And I start to get humbled. And the reason why I get humbled is because some of our kids' honesty and rawness that comes out at camp is very touching. Because I've known a lot of men and a lot of people and been in this ministry a long time that don't have the honesty or rawness that our kids do. Like the faith of a child. It comes out at camp. James 1 says this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Too many times we allow what is going on in our lives to push us from God instead of trying to use it to bring us closer. We don't give God enough credit sometimes. We ask God to draw us closer, and then he allows something to happen in our life and creates these things in our lives which draw us to him. Let me give you some examples. In Matthew 8, God's calming of the storm, he was asleep in the boat. Matthew 8, now, when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave commandments to depart unto the other side. They were completely in the will of Jesus. They climbed into the boat. Jesus was in the boat with them. He gave them the commandment to depart and go to the other side. Matthew 8:24 says this, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. See, the first time Jesus was in the boat with them and said, look, here's a storm. I'm here. Don't you know who I am? He gets out of the boat, and I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but he gets out of the boat, and he gets in on the boat, and he wakes up, and he gets peace, be still. He says, I'm in control of everything. Why don't you all know that? You just watched all the miracles we did. You just saw the multitudes that we preached to, and yet you're worried about this storm, and I'm in the boat with you. I told you we're going to the other side. That's where we're going to go, regardless of the storm. Storms come, and it wakes us up. We have those storms in our lives to cry out to Jesus, and a lot of times we take it as crying out to ourselves. There's something we're doing in it. Then the second time came, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Again, you guys get in a boat, go to the other side, back into the will of God. But then Matthew 14:23 says, and when they had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountains apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He wasn't in a boat with them this time. Matthew 14:24 says this, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was the contrary. Storm happened again. Jesus is standing up in there and watching them during this storm, seeing what they're going to do. This is just a few chapters away, Matthew 8 and Matthew 14. This isn't a long time period. You were just in a boat with me. Same thing happened. I told you to go to this side. We went to the other side. We still got there. Yes, there was a storm, but we got there. Now they're in the boat, back in the storm. Jesus ain't in the boat, and they freak out. That's us. It seems that no matter how many times Jesus shows us just who he is, we have to show him just who we are. Humbled. Now, sometimes we create these storms in our lives, and that's what came with that night. I said, there are situations God allows in your life to draw you closer to him, to show you he's boss, to show you miracles can happen, to show you you are not you without me. But sometimes we put things in the way of God. Sometimes that sin in our lives keeps us from him. Does it keep him from us? It keeps us from him. There's a difference. He's always there, always waiting. Now, we shared a lot of this cabin time. And I think some of the other kids, you know, really never had this strength of word come to them sometimes. You could tell, but you would be very humbled by our kids. They were, come on, bring it on, let's go. We sometimes will take those temptations in our lives, it'll create that sin in our life, and then all of a sudden we'll say, that's just our cross to bear. Careful. When we put those sins in our lives, we did that to ourselves. And we got to get that out of the way of God. That storm sometimes in your life, yes, it's created. Yes, it's a cross to bear. Yes, it's drawing you closer, but sometimes we do it. So the third night, the other cabin leader, he gave his testimony and his stuff. But the fourth night, Wednesday night, came around. And if you ask any of my adult leaders or anybody who's been with me to camp, Wednesday night's the fearful one. because they've gotten used to it. They've gotten over the new campness. And now that reflection starts to hit. I said, take three note cards. Everybody take three note cards. I shared a little bit more of my testimony. Read a few things from notes out of my Bible. And I said, the first one, I want you to write a thank you to the staff here at church, to someone at the camp, someone that invested in you to get you here. Write a thank you card. Send that to them. The second one, it was kind of like that. It was, hey, you know, pretty much just setting the tone of get your writing skills down. The third one, what is it in your life you want out of the way between you and God? What's that sin that you go to instead of picking up your Bible? What's that sin that keeps you out of church? What's that sin that keeps you out of fellowship? What is it? And I said, just write it down. Don't know what it is until you say it. And then we talked about this. 1 John 1:8 says this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Powerful words. I told him to take that what's in between God card and hand it to someone. Should have seen their eyes. I said, be careful who you hand it to. You have to have a Christian friend. You have to have someone you can trust. You have to have an accountability partner, and that person's who you hand that card to. But why? Why would we ask them to do that? It's pretty simple. You want forgiven of your sins? That's easy. Ask for it. It's repentance. Simple. Forgiveness. Paid for. Already done. On the cross. God, forgive me. I accept what your son did on the cross. It's what I talked to Bryson about right before you baptizing. Are you saved? Yes. Have you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart? Your Lord and Savior, and you're going to follow him the rest of your days? Yes. That's salvation. And at that moment, all the sins, all the ones you committed, all the ones you're committing, and all the ones you will commit are forgiven at that moment. Doesn't mean you stop sinning. And it doesn't mean the devil doesn't put things in the way between you and God. And that's what I'm talking about on that card. A lot of prayers started to happen. And then I explained it. If you want forgiven of your sins, you just have to ask. It's already been paid for. But if you want healing, it takes confession. It takes for you to verbalize what's going on in your life to God. It takes you saying it. And if you really want to be healed and protected of it, you tell someone who's accountable what's going on in your life and say, hold me accountable. Got about four men in my life that I can text at any time of the day. Text me too. And I say, hey, this is going on in my life. I need some help. Everybody needs that in their Christian walk. They need someone they can reach out to as accountability. They need someone they're reaching out to as their accountability. And keep that confession free, because if someone else knows about it in your life and hold you accountable for it, it helps. But the amazing thing about all this is God's grace. Our kids are bombarded with things that we have no clue about. I mean, we think about in our lives, the things that was available to us, the things we had to do to go get things that were available to us. I mean, just the amount of things we had. Now they have all of that in a phone in their pocket. complete accessibility to the world. It's dangerous. And our kids battle that every single day. And then they get guilt. The devil gets that guilt into them, and they make them render them unaffected for God because they feel guilty. They feel not worthy. And that's what that card was about. Because when they start seeing what other kids are battling with, and they realize, wow, you battle with the same thing? Well, let me pray for you. And it starts. And then all that crap gets out. And then you get to see some reflections on God and some reconnections and some, wow, it's just not in the way anymore. It's amazing. But then there's grace. Now, I think there is a tightrope that we need to walk with grace. I think that sometimes we get a little carried away with lawness. In other words, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And then we get too far with grace. Well, I'm covered by grace. What would Jesus do? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus did. If you want to go to the Ten Commandments, he made them even more strict. He said, you know, thou shalt not murder. He said, if you even hate somebody, you're already murdered. Well, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, if you lust after somebody in your own heart, you've already done it. But thank God for grace. It was paid for. So I think in some points, we need to let off that relaxation on grace a little bit and realize that that sin in our life, you still need to get it out. We still need to repent. We still need to turn from it and head back towards God. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. I don't know what you would write on that card. You know, I had three kids come up to me after the time of cabin time and everything, and they said, hey, I think you were talking directly to me, and you don't even know me. I wasn't talking to you. I have no idea what you wrote on your card. I promise. And then they would say, what do I do? And we would pray, and we would talk about it, and they'd get a new direction. I'd give them some scripture to start with. But the important part was what they got it out. They confessed it. Not to me. I am not a priest. This is not how that works. You confess that to God through Jesus Christ. And believe it or not, he already knew about it. The Holy Spirit's already crying out for you as your advocate. But thank God for that grace. So if you need prayer today, you know what? If you want to start that relationship with God, it's easy. It's something that you do in your heart. It's a prayer that we say. It's a connection. And you know when it happens. If you didn't know when it happened, get that right first. The altar's open. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing us to share a little bit of our youth this morning. I don't know what to say. I'm so proud in so many ways. Thank you. And we thank you a lot.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our youth. We thank you for Craig and his leadership, and thank you so much for the progress that is made at camp, Lord, and the lives that were touched and devotions. And we just thank you for what you're doing, and we just pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts as adults, as you have this morning, Lord, and help us to walk in your ways, Lord, and renew our minds in Christ. We just thank you for your goodness and your blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and join our hands as we dismiss with the bond of love.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us sing now, everyone. Let us feel his love begun. Let us join our hands so the world will know we are one in the bond of love.
Amen. Have a great week. Thank you.